This is where we practice being vulnerable and brave. This is where we're reminded we are the beloved children of God. This is where we say, I'm sorry, and begin again in love. This is where we work for justice and imagine a world made whole. This is where a new story is born as we weave it with our lives. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this congregation and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages today. This is a communion Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month. And since it's October, we also observe World Communion Sunday. Today we are thinking about people, Christians, gathering at tables around the world. And we're thinking today especially of people gathering in places of pain and violence. Folks at home, we invite you to grab a bit of food and drink. In person today, we have gluten-free matzah along with grape juice. You'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements. You can also raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. You can participate to whatever extent is meaningful for you. Coming up next week is the Sacred Journey to Deer Island. On Indigenous Peoples Weekend, we are remembering the 350th anniversary of the Indigenous internment of folks on Deer Island, which was devastating. We'll be having a special worship service here as part of our 10:30 worship service. There are online programs, as well as on Monday, a bus trip to Deer Island. You can see the link for more info about that. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, I am the light. The light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light. Amen.
Okay.
Let's see.
We're good.
I think so.
We're good.
Okay.
And good morning, I'm Gail. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, your story is welcome here. Some stories are silenced.
Your story is welcome here.
Some stories are stolen.
Your story is welcome here.
Some stories are dangerous.
Your story is welcome here.
God calls us to make room for each other's stories. So, your story is welcome here. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 314. You can find it in the hymnal as we gather at your table. Please rise in body or spirit.
Note about the extra verse, though. Did you see the note about the extra verse?
I did not.
Okay. You are
welcome to follow along in your hymnal, but there is an extra verse that is only available on the screen and in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of quiet. Take a minute to breathe and sense those around you, right here in the room, for those of you in the sanctuary, or in your house or neighborhood, for those at home. Let us pray. Weaving God, bring us together. Interlace our rich variety into a web of texture and color. Not too tight, but with room for movement. Entwine us into a net to catch those who are falling. Fill every strand with your presence so we know that we are one with you. Remind us that every story matters in this tapestry of love. Amen. Peace. Shanti. Pause. Fred. Pox. Hasiti. Sipala. Pache. Shalom. Mir. Peace. On this day and every day, may we send peace to all our brothers and sisters and siblings, especially to those who live in the midst of devastation from climate change and war. We send the peace that does not pass away. We send God's peace. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, which is a new one for the month of October. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. Shall I turn this back off?
Thank you. This fall, our worship services are focusing on the story of the biggest hero in the Hebrew Bible, who is? Excellent. The Hebrew people had been enslaved in what empire for decades? We'll work on that. Under a king who was called? Excellent. That's all, that's it. There will be no more quiz. God saw their suffering and sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell the king to let God's people go. Pharaoh declined. That's where we left off last week. And as promised, we are skipping over all the plagues God sent to Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh to let the Hebrew people go. We're skipping over blood and boils and frogs, etc. And the last, most terrible plague, the killing of every firstborn child. God knew when that plague struck Egypt, when that plague struck Pharaoh, the grieving king would want Moses and Moses' people gone. The Hebrew people would need to move and fast. They'd need to be ready to leave for a long journey and on a moment's notice. So our scripture reading today is a small part of the long instructions God gave the Hebrew people about how to be ready to leave Egypt. In particular, these are the instructions for the bread they will need for that journey. Bread that will be made without any leaven, without any yeast, because there won't be time to wait for the bread to rise. Here's the interesting thing about this passage. The purpose of this passage is to tell the people to make bread without any yeast. What is the purpose of the passage? To tell the people how to make bread without any yeast. Excellent. But the passage is actually verse after verse after verse about how the Hebrew people through the ages should remember this day of making bread without any yeast by once again eating unleavened bread. Way less time spent on instructions, way more time spent about remembering in the future. Remembering this day becomes the annual observance of Passover, which our Jewish siblings still celebrate every spring, and the bread made without yeast, the unleavened bread, is matzah.
Hear these words from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 14 through 20. God is giving instructions to Moses and his brother Aaron, who then went and repeated everything to the people. God said, "This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance."
So remember, the people are all focused. They're all wondering if they are going to survive the next 24 hours. And here God is planning future festivals. God is either deeply tone deaf or trying to draw their eyes toward a future filled with hope.
7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day shall be cut off from Israel.
In the future, even though there will be no Pharaoh to escape from, they will still need to eat unleavened bread just to remember this moment.
On the first day, you shall hold a solemn assembly, and on the seventh day, a solemn assembly. No work shall be done on those days, only what everyone must eat. That alone may be prepared by you.
Did you catch that? No work shall be done on those days. This is a radical declaration for people who have been enslaved for decades.
You shall observe the festival of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your companies out of the land of Egypt. You shall observe this day throughout your generations as a perpetual ordinance.
God wants this to go on for generations. Even once being enslaved is a distant memory, still no leaven.
In the first month, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day, you shall eat unleavened bread. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether an alien or a native of this land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your settlements, you shall eat unleavened bread.
This is not just a friendly suggestion. There are consequences if you don't eat the unleavened bread. And again, not just for the Hebrew people, but for anybody who lives among them. They will be cut off from the community. How could flat bread be so important?
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Gail.
Mm-hmm.
So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So do you ever wonder, my friends over there, who are, just so you know, they are always listening to me so closely, even though they are doing art and blocks and things like that. Like when you're riding, like seriously, this is a like moment of, this is not what I planned about talking about, but you know how like you're driving in the car and your kids look like they're not paying attention to you, but they are taking in every word. So just remember, it's all just trickling down over there. My friends, do you want to know, do you ever wonder why I believe in a God who loves and cares for me?
Yes.
Do you ever wonder?
Yes.
Right? Does anybody besides Sarah Lynn ever wonder?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're reading this part of the Bible when the Hebrew people are about to go on a long, hard journey. And God is super focused on making sure they pack a snack. This is my kind of God. Ask my family, ask Miss Sarah Lynn, I rarely go anywhere without a backup water bottle and a snack. True? True, yeah. I am one of those people who gets hangry and headachy rather suddenly, and it is not pretty. If I had been one of the Hebrew people getting ready to flee ancient Egypt, I would be totally on board with baking up batches of matzah. I would have been in the front row when Moses and Aaron were giving it. I would have been like, okay, can we double, can we triple the recipe? And then I'd be like, we can bring some hummus, right? Because we're going to need protein. I don't care about the leaven, but we're going to need protein. So can we bring the hummus? And as long as they said it was okay to bring the hummus, I would be good. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, God and God's prophets keep checking to see if some people are going hungry while others have more than enough to eat. And if that's happening, it's a sign in our scripture that something is broken in the world. That's why so much of our life together as a church is about food. It's not just to keep me from getting hangry. It's a reminder of how God shows up when we feed each other and eat together. When we have coffee hour after worship, it is not just to tie us over until lunch. It is to practice feeding each other so we can go out and feed the world. Now, my friends, you are about to go on a journey to Sunday school. Are you ready for a journey to Sunday school? It's a long journey. My friends who are going to Sunday school, are you ready for that long journey? I think we should send you with a snack. Do you think you should have a snack for the long journey to Sunday school?
Yes.
Don't you think you need a snack?
Yes.
Tim, can you help me give them a snack?
Yeah.
I have bad news for you. It's just matzah. You have to check with your adult to make sure it's okay for you to have this snack. But if it is, then Mr. Tim is going to give you some matzah to take with you as a snack on the long journey to Sunday school. While we get ready to bless you, would you please join me, get your blessing hands ready, to bless our young people as they take their snack for the journey. Soul-feeding God, may these beautiful and beloved young people pack not only a snack for the journey, but also the strength and hope and peace of this community. Amen.
Thank you.
morning, we don't
really tell a story. You could hear the difference in the scripture passage where God was giving instructions. It wasn't a story in the way we've had the last few weeks. So we don't really tell a story this week. This week we eat a story. This fall we have been focusing on the power of story. Stories in scripture, especially in the book of Exodus. Our personal stories and the importance of sharing them. The stories we tell about what's happening in the world and how all those stories weave together. We're also thinking about stories that are silenced or maybe feel like they're too dangerous to tell. And today's excerpt from the Passover larger story is a good example. The Hebrew people were about to escape slavery. We'll tell a little bit more about that part of the scripture next week. And in this week's section, God gives them a bread recipe so they could hurry up and get on the road already. But then God told them how they must, every year, remember this day of unleavened bread. And then God told them again how they must remember it every year. And then God told them, actually, they would need to go without leaven for a whole week every year. And then God told them all of that again. I actually did not include all the passages when God tells them over and over and over again how every year they need to remember this. God apparently thought somebody wasn't listening. But that makes me wonder why God was so focused, more focused on future generations remembering the day of unleavened bread than the actual day of making the bread and getting the heck out of Egypt. Why is God so focused on the people remembering the story? It seems like God was like maybe the first sociologist, the first to realize the powerful role stories play in shaping our perceptions of reality. So that even as God was helping the Hebrew people escape Egypt, God knew there were other pharaohs in the future. God wanted the people to deeply remember the escape from Egypt, not so they would be grateful for something that happened a long time ago, but so they'd be ready to break free from whatever new Egypts might arise. Because there would always be another Egypt. Sometimes those might be very personal Egypts, enslavement to addiction or self-criticism or isolation. Just as often, the new Egypts would be powers and principalities only too eager to once again oppress and exploit. So God wanted the people to set aside time every year to remember that once they had been enslaved in Egypt, and no way did they want that again for themselves or anyone else. But sometimes, when the intellectual exercise of the words describing life in Egypt couldn't break through all the chatter in their minds, God thought maybe the taste of unleavened bread could. Maybe if enslavement in Egypt seemed too long ago and far away, literally somebody else's problem, maybe the feel of flat bread on their own tongues could wake them up to how close oppression could truly be. And then if they tried to avoid the knowledge by skipping the 7 days of matzah, scripture called for them to be cut off from the community. The responsibility of freedom was passed down from generation to generation. Every person must give up leaven for 7 days every year as a way to remember their ancestors' flight out of Egypt. and not just those who were directly descended, even if you just lived in the vicinity. Maybe God hoped the ritual would spread across the earth until every human being set aside 1 week of every year to eat bread that did not have time to rise, to remember those who lived in whatever Egypt is hurting God's children today. But at the very least, if the Hebrew people were feeling confident that they would never be enslaved again, the unleavened bread would force them to remember that others still lived in chains. Now, of course, that's the story that was on Jesus' mind when he gathered his friends for the meal that is the traditional root of our communion feast. In some descriptions of the meal, Jesus and his followers were celebrating Passover. Are you with me? Okay. So the bread on that first communion table was probably matzah, like on our table today. Those gathered told the story of the Hebrew people escaping slavery in Egypt. That's part of the Passover celebration, God saving the people long ago. They could not have helped but feel the connection to the economic, political, and military oppression they themselves were living under from a new and even more powerful Egypt, the Roman Empire. Then they passed the unleavened bread around the table, that bread that had marked for freedom. And Jesus kept saying, "This bread is like my body," as it kept breaking, brittle, in their hands. That bread had once symbolized a hasty journey. But now there was nowhere to go. There was nowhere and no way to escape the Roman Empire. The only journeys people were taking now were to prisons, to sham trials, to public whippings, and to crucifixions. So Egypt was at hand once again, only bigger this time. And the promised land felt so far away. Yet there was Jesus, once again, telling them to remember that meal. Do this in remembrance of me, echoing God's command to the Hebrew people to remember the day of unleavened bread. Maybe that sharing of flat bread and a common cup did not seem very significant in that moment to Jesus' friends around the table. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, when his community somehow felt his presence again, they remembered that Passover meal in an upper room, and it started to look different. It became a meal of resistance. The unleavened bread threatened Pharaoh's regime. The people did not have permission from Pharaoh to pack their bags and go, but they were leaving, and the very existence of the flat bread was a sign of their strength and commitment. Jesus' shared meal in an upper room threatened Rome's economic control. The empire made bread expensive and scarce. Now here people were just giving it to each other. And even if Rome broke their individual bodies, the empire would not break the body of Christ bound together by sharing the bread. Stay with me. It's just Rachel. 2,000 years since the Last Supper. More than 3,000 years since the first day of unleavened bread. We still need a meal of resistance. If Sarah Lynn were here, she would say amen. So we gather at this table. The Passover story is not our story. We should not co-opt it. But it leaves an imprint on our table, as it surely influenced the rituals Jesus, his followers, and the early Christians crafted. So as we come to the communion table today, we remember not only the story of Jesus breaking bread in the upper room, but also the Hebrew people baking unleavened bread. We remember not only the Roman soldiers coming to arrest Jesus, but the Egyptian soldiers killing Hebrew children. We weave together Christian stories with Jewish stories, and then we weave them with our own. So we remember the families fed this past week by groceries delivered in secret for fear of deportation. We remember people detained by the government in inhumane conditions who now can't be found. We remember unaccompanied children seeking safety in the U.S., threatened and bribed by the U.S. government to try to get them to leave. And then we eat the stories. Eating the matzah or whatever we have at hand, we take into our very beings all the struggles that have come before, all the pain before us now, all the prayers we have for the future. We join together in this meal of resistance. We will not let these stories be silenced, and we will not forget. And in the very flatness of the bread, we taste the pain of slavery in Egypt, the hope of the people for liberation, the fear of the wilderness, and the call of the promised land. The story becomes part of us so we can be the ones to decide what comes next. So, beloved, let's come to the table and eat the story. Amen. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so, folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to find yourself a bit of food and drink. Folks in person, you will be invited to come forward shortly to take a piece of matzah, dip it in the cup, and eat it right away. By the way, we find it works particularly well if you just dip it a little bit. You can also raise your hand and be served in your seat. Parts of the liturgy this morning are based on the work of Marin Tirabassi. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence, so during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Kim. We celebrate that even though Kim is continuing to deal with health issues, her work has been so understanding that she's been able to do what she can there, and which I think is good both, like, it's good to be able to be there sometimes. I think that's good for you, and their understanding is helpful, and also that Tabitha has been such a good source of support. Thanks. Other joys. Jen. Jen is lifting up her family's one-year anniversary at FCC Natick and offering gratitude to this community for welcome and support. And I think we all know, like, it's always mutual, right? So it's wonderful to have your family as part of this community, Jen. Thanks. Robin. So Declan is off. It's not actually Make-A-Wish. It's a different wish. Sorry, falling over. Declan, as he, our young friend, as he recovers from cancer treatment, as he has successfully completed it, he has been able to live out one of his wishes with support from wonderful organizations, including Natick Fire Department, Natick Police, and he is off on a wonderful trip, including Diggerland, where the fun is even bigger than the trucks. And we look forward to hearing about that trip, and we're so happy for him and his family and the time that they're having together. Thanks, Robin. Randy. Randy, someday I want you to have just a pure joy. That is your assignment for next week, pure joy. So where's the concern? Is it because you miss her? Oh, yeah, that was well done. All right, okay, perfect, perfectly done, perfectly done. All right, so Randy is lifting up. It's very sad that his wife is gone for a while, but the joy is that she's with friends, and then she's with her mom, and then she's bringing back a new cat. So that's perfectly well done, Randy. Excellent job, yes. Janice. Janice chills on so many levels. So Janice is lifting up the joy that her boys are headed with their school on a civil rights trip at the end of the week. They are gonna be just hearing and seeing amazing things. But we also lift up the fact that their school values this, for them to be in an environment that sees this as a priority. That in itself is a true joy. Thanks. Other joys, Rick. Oh.
I give thanks for the front garden.
Rick is giving thanks for the front garden. Do we know, is that an actual pollinator garden? Yeah. All right, so Rick is giving thanks for our pollinator garden and the good work it is doing nurturing the bee life out there right now. Thanks, Rick. Lane has no joys. I have one more joy. Did I miss a hand? Yeah, I thought you were going to celebrate the Jimmy Fund Rock, so that's good too. In addition to bees, we have lots of walkers for the Jimmy Fund, including Karen M. Parishioner here is one of the walkers going by this morning, and she took a great picture with the Jimmy Fund banner and the church in the background that we'll send around, so we lift that up. The other thing is we are heading into our Family Promise Week. Do we have enough volunteers? We have almost enough volunteers, so if you would like to be part of this next joy, you could see Chris. Chris, raise your hand. All right, so here's a joy from Family Promise this week. Family Promise is the shelter program in Natick and Metro West that we participate in. We are celebrating that this week one family has left shelter. This is a family with two parents and a year-old son. Both parents are working full-time. One of the parents is also enrolled in classes to advance their career. Their new home is across the street from a community playground. The little boy has his eye on a splash pad that is part of the community playground. This is why we support Family Promise, helping families move out like that. If you would like to help support that by making a meal or buying some groceries, that's all it takes, please see Chris. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Heather. I'm so sorry, Heather. I'm sorry I have to ask you to say it again.
So my extended family.
Yeah. Died by suicide. What is that person's name again? Are you able?
Janelle.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. I'm so sorry. So, in Heather's extended family, we are lifting up Mitzi. Did I get that right? Who lost their battle with mental illness. Died by suicide this past week. We are also holding the rest of the family in our prayers as well. And we hold this family in our prayers knowing that we name this one, but how many people live with and struggle with well-being and mental health issues. We hold them in our prayers. Thanks, Heather. Other concerns? Pam, do you want me to share? We are holding Pam and her mom, Lois, in our prayers. As you may know, Lois has gone onto hospice. Recently, Lois really has just been in her bed. This past week, Lois has said she doesn't really want to be on oxygen anymore. The medications are increasing. Hospice has said Lois is in the phase that they call transition, which means Lois is getting ready to leave this life. Leaving this life is hard work. Even when you're in your 90s, your body is programmed to try to stay. We see lots of signs that Lois is being received, that Lois's husband and family are hovering round, ready to pull her forward. And Lois is just trying to figure out how to let go of this life and go to the next one. Pam is there, Pam's sisters are there. Lois has everything she needs, but this is hard work. So we hold Lois in our prayers while she does this hard work. We hold Lois's daughters in our prayers while they stand by during this hard work. We know Lois can do this, and we hold her spirit in love, and we hold you in love, Pam.
One from Stephanie. Did you get that already? No? Okay, so...
Is this about part-time job?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I think I did see this. So Stephanie is looking for prayers as she is seeking a part-time job to help sort of just keep her mind busy and keep her life going well.
To be a mother's helper or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. We hold Stephanie in our prayers. We'll connect after. Thanks. Yeah, Bill. Bill is lifting up a prayer request for his neighbor, Chris, who intervened in a dog fight 2 months ago, still is not recovered, and so will be facing surgery. Prayers for full recovery. Thanks, Bill. Deb. Steve's mom, Betty, is declining. On hospice, so we hold, did I get that right? So we hold Steve and Betty in our prayers. Thanks, Deb. And we hold you in our prayers too, Deb. Did I miss any others? Jen. And how old is Rupert? 3? Okay. We hold Rupert in our prayers, another one of our young friends who continues to go through treatment for cancer, but with fevers going up and down, it has made it hard for treatment to happen in a consistent manner. So just making that all more complicated. We hold him and his family in our prayers. I get him? God is with us. Beloved, come to the table of one whose footprints are on tundra, desert, delta, the Sea of Galilee, bush and forest, and whose good news speaks in Swahili, Spanish and sign, Mandarin, Portuguese and Braille, Pashto, HTML, and Te Reo Māori. Come to the breaking of rice cake, fry bread and tortilla, the laying down of roti and wafer, the passing of matzah and naan, and the pouring of Merlot or Concord grape, tea or Manischewitz, water or coconut milk. Come to a meal with a global guest list. There is no save the date. It is now. We have been so divided in ideas and solutions. We have separated ourselves and felt so alone. We have been so divorced from each other, it seems impossible we could come together. But here God invites us, through all that separates and divides us, to find wholeness in our brokenness. We gather around this table as a global community to remember and believe that in this bread we are one, in this cup we are united, at this table we are needed, and together here we create a new vision for ourselves in this world. Nothing can separate us from each other and from love. And in this feast, we will become whole again. Let us fill our emptiness by sharing this meal of resistance and remembrance, as people are doing in all the world, to eat and drink, be blessed and whole. On that Passover long ago, Jesus did as God had commanded. He remembered the festival of unleavened bread when the Hebrew people could not wait for the bread to rise as they made their escape from Egypt. He shared matzah, unleavened bread, with his friends so they could remember together that Egypt still exists and they must work for freedom. In the same way, we share matzah, unleavened bread, with each other to remember that Egypt still exists. And people around the world have to leave home in fear without time for the bread to rise. In this sanctuary and at home, I invite you to raise your hands in blessing on the food and drink we have gathered before us in recognition of God's presence at our tables. Let us pray. God bless the spoons, chopsticks, flatbread, and fingers of all your children. Bless every meeting of hunger and generosity. Bless our memories of food shared and our hopes for food justice. Bless the peace of our joy-filled cup, the pieces of our broken bread, that this may become a sacred meal, a pledge of open table, a sign of our care for earth itself, a declaration that all beings, all things, are made holy by your love, the love shown to us so powerfully in Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sharing the unleavened bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Communion Sundays, it's our tradition to take a special offering for FCC Natick's Communion Fund. Contributions in the communion offering envelopes or donations labeled Communion Fund in the memo line of a check or online donation will be added to that fund. The Communion Fund is used to help our neighbors with small grants of up to $250. Often we're helping to buy groceries or paying a utility bill. In the last year, we've been able to help some folks who've arrived in the United States due to dangerous situations in their home countries. While they wait for their asylum paperwork to be processed, there's a period of time where they can't work, so they have to rely on churches and other organizations for help. Like the Hebrew people, they have fled their homes with the clothes on their backs, no time for the bread to rise. So it feels fitting that we gather donations for this fund while we can still taste the matzah in our mouths. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may all of us on site and online pray for a world and work for a world where no one will need to leave their home in order to survive.
Thank you.
bless these gifts, and especially the ones that need it as they try to flee Egypt. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 461, We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky. May be seated. Beloved, all hands together to hold the wounded, all hands together to make the bread, all hands together to work for freedom, all hands together to change the world. Go in peace. Amen.